Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. I have to tell you that my guest today, when I met him in New York and I saw the cover of his book, I didn't even want to read the inside. I just wanted to look at the cover. The cover has this adorable white terrier that is on the front of it with these great big dark eyes and this adorable little black nose. And his name is Toto. Well, you, if you're familiar with The Wizard of Oz, you know that Dorothy's dog, her wonderful little terrier, was named Toto. And this book is titled, In Toto 2, The Wizard of Oz as a Spiritual Adventure. And Nathan Castle is my guest today. Welcome, Nathan, to the show.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Nathan, your sister, we were talking just before we went on air, your sister designed the artwork in this book and helped with the layout, and she is incredibly good at this. What a talented sister you have.
You're really going to swell her head. I'm sure she's listening. Yeah.
That's okay. Swell it up as much as you can take it, because
okay.
It is just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And it's really stunning. The first time I saw it, I loved it, too.
Oh, she just has this eye for being able to bring colors together. Anybody that could find a dog like this, I'm telling you, the face on this little critter is just, it's just heart-capturing. That's all I can say. It captured my little heart, that's
yeah.
all. My big heart, not my little heart, my big one. Your sister Catherine, she is so talented. You talked about her having a unique form of multiple productivity syndrome. She's a multitasker.
She is, and it's really being put to the test because she's got, you know, a couple of full-time jobs already and has added the editing and promoting of this book to a pretty full plate.
You're a man that has walked a path that for a lot of people would be considered a rather unique one. You have gotten your degrees from the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California.
That's right.
You've been involved in campus ministry for
right.
a good portion of your life. And you serve as the director of the Catholic community at Stanford University.
I do. I'm sitting right here in my office right now.
And so here you are with this, and I love on the book, on the back, your sister didn't put a mature picture of you. She put your little boy picture, and it's adorable.
The funny thing about that is it was my favorite little boy picture, too, you know. I don't know if you're fussy about pictures of yourself. I often don't like pictures of myself, but I always like that one. I think I'm about first grade in that picture.
Well, it's just adorable. And I thought, how many people would consider doing that? No, they always have these very dignified photos. But here is this very happy face of you as a young child. And I would say, in looking at the mature photo of you, you still have a great deal of that childish zest for life in you, which I think is marvelous. However, I was so intrigued by the fact that a particular movie that has been a favorite of millions and millions of people for so many years, and it's run over and over and
yeah.
over and over and over again, The Wizard of Oz, that it captured your imagination, and you use that as the theme throughout your book.
Right. I pretty much take the screenplay, and when I was writing it, I was imagining walking down the yellow brick road with the reader and being in every scene and kind of mulling our lives over, thinking about our lives and where we might be headed and what our heart's desires might be. That was what I was trying to do. And what I'm beginning now, it's fun because I'm beginning to interact with people that have read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm getting to hear their stories, and that's really what I was hoping to do, is help people draw their own stories out.
Well, one of the things that you've done with this book is that you have yourself told your own story about the evolution of experiences that you yourself have gone through. And you bring in some other people's stories periodically, too. But in the beginning, you say your life was really you might feel like a Donna Reed special. It just, you just had a good time. You were a kid born in a period that was pretty well balanced. You don't have any horrific stories to tell of being abused or any of this other stuff. But when you got into your teen years, you had some challenges. Actually, the challenges started when you were younger, because a school that you just did so well in all of a sudden disappeared, didn't it?
It was just, I had a pretty small world. I went to a little Catholic school in my neighborhood where I'd gone since kindergarten, and it was a K-8 school. And at the end of the seventh grade year, someone walked into the room with a little note saying, "Our school's closing. We'll see you. Bye-bye." And I guess that happens to people all the time. To me, it turned out to be a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. And you were at that time in your life, you're entering into puberty, where everything goes wacko anyway with everybody,
yeah.
It seems like, at that time frame. But here you had this environment that you just loved. It was just absolutely marvelous, and kaboom.
It dried up and blew away. Yeah.
And then you end up going into an environment that is absolutely, completely out of your realm of understanding. It's like night and day.
I spent some time in the prologue of the book describing that story of the eighth grade and not knowing the foul language. I didn't know what that word was, and mm-hmm. I just knew that there were a lot of angry people shouting. Do you want me to say it?
Oh yes, I think you said it very well in the book, so you can say it on air. I don't care.
All righty, fork you, fork you.
And you use the illustration of the fork in the book.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know why silverware was making people so angry.
Yes. You know, when I read that, I thought, I have had experiences like that myself, where I was totally unaware of what so many people experience as a norm that is very dark, very ugly, very violent, much of what you described. And you do have a shock syndrome that goes in, because that's really not in your thinking pattern. It's not there, and you have to learn about a whole different world. You don't have to stay immersed in it, but you've got to become aware of it.
Yeah, and that's, I guess you mentioned, you know, puberty, and I guess every young person passes through that and not knowing what's going on around them and so on. It fortunately, as you said, I had a really strong family, and I never was hungry or anything like that, but I just think people have lots of dramas that go on inside them, and because mm-hmm. so many people do have very hard lives, people with maybe less trauma, their stories don't get told because they don't seem important enough.
Well, I think that's true, and I was talking with a friend just a couple of hours ago, and we were talking about perception. And how people will think of something is this way, but maybe because of a trauma that they went through, I like your word, because of a trauma they went through, they're always trying to make up something. They are accepting circumstances in their life that perhaps are very ugly, very unpleasant. Maybe they're verbally abused, but they keep doing this. They keep bringing people into their space. Because deep down inside, they just don't feel worthy, even though they are a fabulous human being. And we were discussing someone that we knew mutually, who we just have a deep respect and love and affection for, a wonderful human being. And this person always brings into their close personal circle those individuals that don't like her, will treat her very badly, and here she is, this beautiful, successful, wonderful human being. So those traumas that maybe never come out don't even have a chance to heal.
Yes, yeah.
Because of that. Now, you bring in your book something that was really interesting to me, and that is about the author L. Frank Baum, and you have actually a picture of the original book, and I just thought that Wow, where did you get a picture of the original book? I didn't know you could find it.
Of the Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Or the... well, I own it. I collect things that are related to the Wizard of Oz. And funny, in fact, my room at home is just crammed with Oz stuff, most of which I haven't bought. It's just that people know of my interest in it, so anytime they see anything Oz-related, they get it for me, even if it's not my birthday and not Christmas.
Oh, how much fun is that? That is really cool. Yes, you've become a collector without planning on being
exactly.
one.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was quite an interesting man. And tell us a little bit about his background, because this is considered a children's story, but it has so many parts to it, and that's what you did. You took it apart, showing different portions and what you can see as a meaning with it. And it makes sense to me, and I really think he wanted the story to be able to have that kind of significance to readers. Tell us how you discovered all of this.
Well, I've loved the movie for so long and the story, and I really wanted to know the person that wrote it. So I found a couple of books, a couple of biographies about Baum. One of them is written by his own son in, I think it was in the 50s. So it was late in his son's life. Frank died in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a more recent biography that was done in the early 90s. So I just tried to get to know him by reading up on him and learned that he had had a upbringing that was safe, and his family was recently wealthy, new wealth, and
mm-hmm.
they really lavished their love on him. They saw that he had some acting talent, and they bought a theater.
Oh my!
he had an interest in writing, and so they bought him a printing press. So he had a lot of advantages, but he wasn't really pampered. They were just trying to give him the tools he needed to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to raise a family very much like that. His four sons, he had a great lifelong marriage to his wife, Maud. I mentioned in the book, in the chapter that deals with him, that she and her mother-in-law, who lived with them much of their marriage, were suffragists. So from the 1880s to up to the time of his death, they worked for the suffrage movement. And of course, it had to go through all the state legislatures, you know, to be ratified by 2/3 of the state. So it took more than 20 years to do that, and that was a cause that was dear to him.
And that's something that he really was so supportive of, and that's part of the story of the Wizard of Oz. He incorporated so much of the reality of the time because he survived the Depression. He went through so many different elements that he was able to bring those in.
Yes, they went broke, I think, 3 times during his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so loved that he could take big risks, and I believe that loved people are the best risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that people around you are going to love you whether you succeed or fail, then you're not so afraid of failing.
It's a very interesting observation. I think that is a very profound statement about this author.
Yeah, he was a very loved person all his life, and he was so interested in the upbringing of his kids, which not all men of his age were.
Right.
You know, oftentimes that was delegated to the woman, and the guy didn't have very much to do with raising his own kids, but he loved raising his kids, and he loved reading to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it aggravated him that most of the stories written for children were European, and they had lots of kings and queens and princes and princesses, and the women in the stories often were swooning and dependent, and he didn't want... He was working for women's suffrage. He didn't want to perpetuate the idea that the best a woman could hope for was a white knight to come and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he just got aggravated, and his mother-in-law was living with him and said, you're a good writer. Why don't you write the stories you want to read to your children?
Now that is a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement. She obviously observed what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, put it down. put something down that will be a legacy. Little did he know that his legacy, The Wizard of Oz, was going to be a legacy for millions and millions of children around the world.
No, he couldn't possibly have done that. And although it wasn't very long before his fan mail really demanded that he keep writing about the Oz characters. I suppose a lot of successful authors have found that when they really hit upon something that connects with the public, that the public wants more of that. And
so
he ended up writing more stories about these characters, but it really wasn't his intention at the outset.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating, fascinating man. Then we get into your book takes the movie in segmented portions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have such a love for the movie, you felt like it was very inspirational to you and some of your life experiences. And, of course, I think that's one of the things that makes not just the story The Wizard of Oz. The movie and the story are a little bit different. But the movie is magical because of all of the various themes that are incorporated, because of costuming and music and, you know, Judy Garland, that just absolutely put her on the map, you might say,
sure,
in a very, very special way. And she'll never be forgotten because of that beautiful, beautiful child that she was when she played the part and all of the magic that went with it. But you start off in the one section, and it's right at the front of your book, looking inside.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned someone that I know that never let, and use the same word, trauma come out, so she could bring into her environment more beautiful people like herself. And you had here, you quote things exactly as they are in the script. Dorothy says, "I won't look any further than my own backyard for anything that I want to know."
Right.
And life is that way. Isn't that interesting how usually right where we are contains so much of what we need, but we will go and we'll look outside. We want something out there, because isn't that what it's supposed to be? You're supposed to go out and go through long suffering and pain and anxiety and trauma and all kinds of stuff. But usually we discover we've had it all along, just like Dorothy discovered she had everything she ever really wanted right where she was, in Kansas.
Sure. We can entertain ourselves, amuse ourselves with all kind of things outside, but we still have to come home at the end of the day, and
mm-hmm.
we always come home to ourselves. And if we can't be happy in our own company, then we've got work to do.
Oh, absolutely true. Absolutely true. And one of the things that you say about the movie that Dorothy, at the scene, she had to decide what direction she was going to follow, and so she decided she was going to take the yellow brick road. And that's what she does. And that's a point that you bring out as part of the journey that we go through. We must choose our paths, and regardless of whatever circumstances we go through, we are doing our own choreography to a degree.
I like that. Yeah. I wonder if your listeners can remember the scene where, you know, she's told to follow the yellow brick road, and of course she does. And the way the film is set, when I was used to watching it on TV, there'd be a commercial when she would leave Munchkinland, and then after the commercial, you'd come back and she's following the yellow brick road, but then it forks off in three directions in front of her, and then she's bewildered and asking. Asking, is it Toto, the universe, herself? Well, now which way do I go?
Mm-hmm.
And she frames the question that there's only one of these roads that could get her where she wants to go. She just decides that it's like door number one, two, or three, that only one of them's got the thing, the only one of them's right. And then, of course, in the scene, she meets the Scarecrow,
mm-hmm.
and she begins to be involved in his story, and he's very lovable. They become fast friends. He thinks he doesn't have a brain, but he's the one that gets himself down off the pole. He tells her, maybe if you just bend the nail, I'll slip
mm-hmm.
off. So he's
mm-hmm.
problem solving. You learn right away that even though he thinks he doesn't have brains, he's a problem solver. And then he's the one that comes up with the idea, well, maybe if I went with you, this wizard would give me a brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, they're off to see the wizard, and they become friends, they join arms, and they start singing and dancing down the road. And by the time the scene is over, they're on the yellow brick road, and they didn't bother to wonder whether they're going the wrong way or not.
Mm-hmm. All they knew is that they had each other, and it was an adventure. They were just going to trust.
Exactly. And
they were just going to trust.
I asked the reader at that point, you know, have you ever just picked a road with a companion and started going down it?
Mm-hmm.
It worked out just fine for them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe all three roads would have gone there anyway. You don't know. It might have just taken them through different sets of experiences, but they might have all gone to Emerald City.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, you have a section on watching the movie, and you have this gigantic bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite graphics in the whole thing. I'm a big popcorn guy.
So this is a story that I think has so many subliminal messages. I wonder if Baum realized when he was writing this the impact of the characters, because each and every character in this movie has such a persona.
Mm-hmm.
You have the lion that doesn't have courage.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the tin man that doesn't have a heart, and yet there's this sense of loyalty that he has. I mean, all of these characters personify such aspects of life, really representing qualities that I think all of us have. And
yeah.
That is what makes your book so charming, to be able to go through and to talk about. And you bring out the fact that this is basically a Depression-era theme that's put out there. Of course, the movie's in black and white when you start out, and they're out on this bare-bones farm, and you have Aunt Em, and you have all of the characters, the different guys that are there, and they all turn into the characters that when you go in to Technicolor, it just blows you away.
Yes.
I mean, all of these phenomenal characters, and they're all the characters that Dorothy knew back in Kansas.
Yeah, they were all foreshadowed back there in Kansas, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you talk about the marvelous encounter. One of the facts that you had that I thought was so amazing, and I have to share this with my listeners, that when they were doing the movie, they were looking in all kinds of thrift stores in Hollywood trying to find a specific coat. And they found one, and later it was discovered that inside the lining was sewn the name L. Frank Baum. It had been the author's coat, and nobody knew it until after the movie was made.
Right.
That was mind-boggling.
Yeah, isn't it? I think Frank found a way to be on the set.
I think so, and you said that this was given to charity. The coat was given to charity. Probably, you know, he died 20 years before.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds that that coat would be found, used in that movie, and later discovered to be his? Oh,
absolutely.
I just love stories.
That's one of my favorite little tidbits of Oz trivia.
Oh, I think that is so cool. Now, how did you find out about that?
I have a whole big collection of Oz books, and in fact, among people that love Oz, that fact is well repeated.
I can imagine.
It's just such a great story. So, yeah, you can find that one a lot of places.
Now, the storm. The storm in the movie, it is the drama. It is the shift. It
mm-hmm.
is the change. It is something that cannot be controlled. It is something that is going to run its own course. Nobody can pray it away. It is just there. It is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a very strong simile of life.
Yes.
There's nobody that's going to avoid the tornadoes, the cyclones. They're going to hit at some time or another.
Absolutely. And sometimes they're inside you.
Yes.
I describe in that chapter highs and lows and depression, and how a cyclone can start inside a person with, I call it an area of low pressure,
yes.
Fear, isolation, dread, some injustice, some slight, real or imagined, brooding, grudges, and how that kind of darkness inside of us can sometimes spiral, and we can make a small thing become a large thing, and before you know it, we're in the center of the storm.
Mm-hmm. I loved the imagery that you remembered from the movie where you said, Dorothy's saying, we must be up inside the middle of the cyclone, and mm-hmm. then a hen house goes by, a rooster's crowing, and then an old lady knitting in a rocking chair.
Right, yeah.
Waves say, hi, Dorothy.
Right, right. And when I see that scene, it reminds me that even if you are in the middle of your storm, emotional pain can make a person so self-centered. It's just so hard to move through it when you're depressed or upset. But in this, in that, the way that the film treats that section, even in the storm, in the cyclone, she's not alone. Everybody else has got a life going on too. This storm mm-hmm. isn't affecting only you, Dorothy. It's sucked other people into it too.
Absolutely true. No, I really love what you've done with the book, and you talk about Munchkinland. And of
yes.
course, whenever I hear that term, I always think of those little tiny midgets that are in there singing Munchkinland. They've got those real high pitched voices that.
Yeah.
They sort of remind you of Alvin and the Chipmunks, but it's not quite so strong. And it's just an amazing effect. And you talk about three human emotions, disappointment, disillusionment, and disorientation.
Right.
And I would never have thought of it that way, but yet when you mention it, that is something that's present in some of those scenes.
Yeah, one of the problems for Dorothy is her wish came true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wanted to go over the rainbow, and there she landed.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of asked the reader, did that ever happen to you? Did you ever have a wish come true, get your heart's desire, only to find out, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be after all?
I can raise my hand on that one.
Yeah,
well,
imagine
I
a lot.
Have certain memories.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty common experience, don't you?
Mm-hmm. You made a comment about yourself that much of your life was lived in ink.
Oh, yeah.
Share with my listeners why that is the case.
Well, I there's a chapter where I'm dealing right after the cyclone. I talked about getting a spirograph when I was a child. I think
mm-hmm.
it's a toy that a lot of people of my generation know about, and I guess it's still for sale. These little gear-like things, this pad that you'd have these colored pens, and as a kid, you're not often given a pen to draw with. You know, you're given crayons or whatever, but I remember being a child and using these pens, and you had to make this spirograph, these little gears stay engaged, and it would keep making these really pretty curves, and then if you weren't careful, you'd spin out of control and make stray ink marks on the page and ruin it. So that became a metaphor for me of talking about life and whether you believe it's lived in ink or not. I've been fortunate to be around a lot of very forgiving people that when I've messed up have been there to say, at my little school, you didn't ask for another piece of paper. You were told to turn it over and start on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
just keep going. Start over again. You'll do better the next time.
Your chapter on the dogs. I just said, I love the title. Do You Believe in Dog?
Right.
And here is this adorable critter that's right there on your front cover of your book. And
right.
here he is occupying the full page. And I just said, I love you. That's all. I mean, if I didn't do anything else, I love that little dog. And then you've got a picture. I don't know if it's the same one. He looks different. Maybe.
Yeah, he's different.
But this is a little Karen that you have in here. And, you know, that's old me, like I told you right at the beginning. But I loved the joke that you put in the beginning of that chapter. You said, how can you recognize an agnostic, dyslexic, insomniac? The answer is he lies awake every night wondering if there is dog.
Right.
And I went, oh, my goodness, that is unreal. But you bring out so many good points throughout your book. You talk about healing the self, and it begins with knowing your own identity, being aware of the flaws that you have, and that sometimes there are things that you just can't control, not unlike the cyclone in the movie, and
mm-hmm.
to be aware that we are part of a cosmic essence that
right.
is Absolutely unbelievable. And your whole book, each of the segments of The Wizard of Oz, each of the stories you tell, and the heartwarming story that you tell about yourself when you were a teenager and finally opening up and talking to your dad about something that was very important to you, all of these things make this book a real personal journey for anybody who wants to pick it up. And I just, again, for those of you listening, I'm in love with this little terrier that's right on the front cover. I just absolutely love the little guy. And I think if we could look at life with the fearlessness that this little person has and trust, wow, we would be so much better off as individuals, because life truly is an amazing journey, and you've brought that out in your book and Toto 2, The Wizard of Oz as a Spiritual Adventure. Nathan, your website is andtoto, that's andtoto.org.
That's right.
And this is up, and much of your beautiful illustration, the work that your sister has done, I'm sure it's going to be on the site as well. What kind of message would you like to leave my listeners with before we close out today?
Well, I think that life is a journey that we're all on together, and don't try to do it alone. I think one of the things I love about the movie is, even though it starts out as Dorothy's journey, I believe that God is inside of each one of us, and that's why I use the that Toto is a God figure for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get on their journey together, even when she's on her own journey, she's accompanied, and then she begins to meet people very unlike herself who become very important to her. And I'm hoping that people will look beyond stereotypes or boundaries and open themselves to all kind of relationships that might surprise them and enrich them.
Well, Nathan Castle, you've got a phenomenal book here. Your sister is just awesome with her talents, and the two of you are an incredible team. I'm so pleased you were able to join me today. For those of you listening, andtoto.org. Check out Nathan Castle's wonderful book. It'd make a wonderful holiday gift. Nathan, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being here.
It's been a joy, Donna. God bless you.
Thank you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm delighted that the phone lines are now open, and if you want to call me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here's the telephone number you call in to. It is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, well, hey, just sit back, relax, and let me see what I get for you, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about classic beauty. The history of makeup is absolutely amazing, and my guest, Gabriela Hernandez, is going to be with us tomorrow, and she has just accumulated so much information about the history of makeup, and it is fascinating, the ingredients that were used and how we have evolved in the modern world to the level we are experiencing with various products. I mean, all you have to do is walk into a drugstore and you've got a gazillion of them along the walls and on shelves that women pay literally billions of dollars for around the world. So we're going to be finding out about that phenomenal industry. Also, I want to let you know that on this Saturday, day after tomorrow, December the 3rd, I am going to be attending an event at the Ascension Foundation, which is in Seattle. I'm going to be a keynote speaker at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be there for the rest of the day until 5 o'clock doing many readings for people. And this is a wonderful event. They're having a huge open house, and there's going to be all kinds of individuals there speaking on different topics, and you're going to have vendors that are there. So this is really an incredible event, and I think we are just going to absolutely be swamped. So it's totally free. Come on in. Now, they do have a special event in the evening, so if you want to find out more about that, all you have to do is give them a call at 206-356-6356. It's the Ascension Into Light Foundation Center, and that's at 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle. And you can also go on my website and check out my newsletter, and you'll have all the information there as well. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Let's show you how it's done here on the Donna Sebo Show. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Catherine Castle Whitman. I am Nathan Castle's baby sister, and I'm calling you from Parkdale, Oregon.
Well, Catherine, what an honor. You are one skilled lady.
Well, thank you. It was a team effort, and I have a really good team around me, and it was a lot of fun elevating Nathan's writing and turning it into a book.
Well, I just think you make an awesome team. You really, really do. I think the two of you are a powerhouse that's going to be reckoned with. Well, did you want me to give you some of my thoughts?
Yeah, I actually also want to mention to you something Nathan failed to convey is that he is available for workshops and retreats by appointment. His schedule for 2012 is booking rather nicely, so anyone who might be interested in having him speak at a church group, community center, or university can contact us through the website and toto.org or contact me directly, and I'd be mm-hmm. happy to talk to them about arranging a speaking engagement for Nathan.
Well, that is absolutely awesome. I'm thrilled that you've called back to give us that additional information, and the two of you will be quite successful with it, and I think it's going to lead you in directions you'd never even imagined, and I think that it's marvelous, and you ought to consider video on it.
I'm very excited about it, and thanks again. We will be up in your area at the Pacific Northwest Spirituality Book Festival in Seattle, and that will take place on February the 4th, and that is at Seattle wonderful. University.
Well, that's marvelous. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, Donna, you be good. Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Are you big in the... Uh-oh, we've got another caller there. Okay, let me just make a comment here before I go to this next caller. I've got some interesting comments regarding nutritional supplementation that I'm going to be sharing with you. Okay, caller, hi. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from? Uh-oh. Hello?
Yes, are you Donna?
Yes, I'm Donna. What's your name there?
Fanny.
Fanny, okay.
Fanny, yes.
And where are you calling from?
From New York.
From New York. Are you in Manhattan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In Manhattan. Well, you are mm-hmm. the new people in New York have a wonderful way of preparing for the holidays. New York is absolutely magical during the holidays, just magical.
Yes.
All right, let me give you some information, Fanny. What I am looking at, first of all, in my mind is hard work. That is not unusual. You've worked very hard in your life, but you have some individuals in your life that you're very concerned about. And what I'm observing is that you're not getting all of the correct information. And so consequently, your mind is going in a thousand different directions, thinking the worst, and you need to realize you've got to have your facts. You need to have the facts so that you don't emotionally find yourself drained. If you have the facts, the real facts, you're going to need to ask questions to be able to get them, then you're going to find yourself coming out way ahead. And this is extremely important for you because you have been going through a lot of stress, a lot of strain, and you internalize this. You hold it inside yourself. And what that does, that ends up creating problems for your health-wise, and you don't need to go through that. It's something where you need to be able to, again, find out the facts necessary, and if you can, talk to someone that you really trust that is not going to violate your confidence, and let them just be your sounding board so you can get some of this emotion out of you, because it just twists. When I'm focusing on you, I feel like someone's taken my stomach and it's just twisting it. And I get a pressure up in my chest, and I'm uncomfortable in my back, and it's all stress-related. So I really would like for you to find a way that you could release that stress. And believe it or not, I think you, if you were to do some art of some kind, that would help you tremendously. Because you are very, very sensitive to people. You are very sensitive to life in general. And a lot of things affect you very, very deeply. So I think if you could I think music is wonderful, but more than the music, you need to draw things. You need to be able to paint and be able to use colors to show your emotion. And I think that that would help to neutralize some of this anxiousness that you feel. What would you like to ask me?
Yeah, if I like, because I have a religion, right? If I turn the same religion, I change to another temple to temple. What do you think about that? I find a temple is better for me. And then
I think it is wonderful.
You think it's wonderful. I still not thinking about my old friend, my friends in the old temple.
Yes,
I spent so many times.
Well,
so many years.
That's fine. But sometimes, as a spiritual person, we need to find what I call a different home. And it doesn't mean that what you were or where you were before is bad. It merely means that you have found something that is allowing you, as a spiritual person, to feel at peace, to feel harmony, and that is important. Now, if you want, periodically, you may want to go back and, you know, maybe visit the old temple, visit the people, and just say, you're welcome to come if you want to come visit mine. And if some of them feel offended, just know that that'll pass. It will pass. But you have to be true to your own heart and to your own spirit. And I think it's wonderful that you have found a place where you feel such a harmony. Yes. That's great.
Yeah, I have a time to decide, because not like you say, where we can say where we're going and then welcome to come to my new place. They will not. You go, you go. They don't counter with you. That's why I still stay there. And then
well,
I hold my emotion, like you say. I don't repress.
Well, I would say to you that when people have that kind of attitude, if they cannot honor the desire you have to be in a different place, then that's their right and their choice. But you have the right to go someplace else. And I think even though they have this very, very strong attitude that they're displaying, it's a form of manipulation. And no matter where you go, It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to be afraid of being alone, because you will make new friends where you go. And I think some of your old friends will come about. Some may not, and that's okay. And what you do, you just bless them and you just move on. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's wonderful. You have to go to where your heart, your spirit feels at home.
Deep in my mind, right? Very deep in my mind. Actually, that's a very important thing. Like, if I stay there, right, I will help lots of people there. If I transfer to another one, not like that. Because the people, like, in my language, they need help. That's why.
Well,
I
remember, wherever you go, dear, you're going to take you wherever you go. So you're going to help anybody wherever you go.
You think so? I hope not.
So I think it's perfectly fine to visit another place, to visit another temple. It's fine.
I like the style over there.
Follow what you know is right for you.
This is what we need, Jeremy. My job place is very good, very good. And then I sometimes I come show my children.
That's very natural. But be true to your heart, dear. Be true to that is calling inside of you. Don't let other people make your choices for you. You make your choice for yourself because it is what feels best for you.
Yes, I know.
You will do well. Your light will go everywhere.
What do you think my economy?
You're going to be fine. You're going to find that your economics are going to be stable. They are going to be stable.
Okay.
My dear, I'm going to have to go on a break. I want to thank you so much for calling and have a wonderful holiday season.
Donna, have a nice weekend and holiday coming, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Toll-free number to call in and chat is 888-627-6008. Before we took our last caller, I said I had some information regarding vitamins. You know, the war is always raging on this. There are those people that will say, don't take any vitamins, you don't need them, blah, blah, blah. But I am a strong believer in nutritional supplementation. I think there can be overkill on it. I think our bodies are phenomenal machines, but all of us are different. And I came across some information that was oriented towards people that have Alzheimer's, but I'll tell you, it really is good basic common sense. One thing is that you should take a multivitamin every day. And the doctor, his name is Dr. Small, he said, we often, as we get older, do not absorb nutrients from foods the way we do when we're younger. And this is something a lot of people have a challenge with. And they'll say, gee whiz, I go and I eat something. And, of course, you see all the ads on television about chronic heartburn and acid reflux and all this stuff. And a lot of it can be very simply solved because we don't have the same acid content in our bodies as we did when we were younger. So what you do, there's some very simple things. You can get papaya enzymes, and they're a good thing to take when you're taking your vitamins. Now think about this. If you're taking vitamins and your system isn't doing a good job of absorbing nutrients, if you take an enzymatic item like a papaya enzyme tablet, which just chew them up. They're very inexpensive, and they're not going to hurt anybody. It helps the body to do its job more efficiently and effectively. And sometimes a little bit of apple cider vinegar, which almost all of us have in our pantries, a teaspoon of that and a cup of hot water, amazing. A little bit of lemon juice in water that you sip. These are things that can be done that are very natural, they're very healthy, and it helps us do a better job of absorbing nutrients. And Dr. Small said, taking that multivitamin is not going to hurt you. Now, you don't want to take 10, 15, 20 of them. I don't know why it is, but usually among people they say, well, if a little bit's going to work, then if I use a whole bunch, it's going to be a lot better. Not necessarily so. Your body goes through a processing of items, and you want to be able to not overwhelm it, because sometimes if you take too much of something, it affects in a negative way maybe your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, all kinds of things. And also fish oil. I have been talking about this through the years, and vitamin D is very important. And my goodness, there was a time when every kid got cod liver oil. Why? Because in the United States years ago, the kids were having weak bones. They were suffering from malnutrition, and it is something that is so healthy. Well, check with your local health food store. Giving cod liver oil to kids, especially during the winter. If you're living in a northern climate like I do, the day today is gray. It's a wonderful day, but it's overcast. In the Seattle area, we're notorious for that. If it's not raining, it's going to rain, and it's gray. And a lot of people don't like that. Well, you're not getting enough sunshine. So you need to increase your vitamin D intake. And more research is showing that 2,000 units a day is not a negative. And people that are ill, many times they need to have that additional supplementation so that their body can help do the healing that it needs to do. And something that is coming into the forefront, turmeric, I'm sure you've heard about it. It's that wonderful, wonderful item that is just, it's a fabulous spice. But you know, there's a compound in turmeric that makes it so healthy to ingest. I know people that have been given the recommendation to take turmeric as part of their supplementation because of cancer-fighting properties, et cetera. Well, in India, turmeric is used quite a bit in a few other cultures, and it's very healthy, and you don't need a whole bunch of it. You just need a little bit. Well, they have found a compound in turmeric that actually lowers inflammation throughout the body. And they're thinking that this may have something to do with improving the situation of Alzheimer's patients. And what is it? It's curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N. Food is what we need to have to live healthy lives. Find out what works best for you. But remember, there's always some wonderful natural alternatives that you can take that are not going to be expensive and that can make your life better. So these are just a few tips I wanted to share with you, and my goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We all have a Toto in our life somewhere that's our loving companion that will follow us down our own personal yellow brick road of experience, and I want you to know you are never, ever alone. Not ever. Life is to be lived with enthusiasm and with a sense of trust in many levels that maybe we've forgotten about. Don't you forget. You're here for a purpose, and I'm so glad you're able to join me. Donna Siebel here. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.